Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
See, this is an opportunity, a situation where I would want to wish our next guest Happy New Year, because we haven't talked in a few months, and it's recently it was New Year's, but I'm hesitant after yesterday. Because Tyler Dunn told us, I said, Happy New Year. He's like, what? It's the 7th.
Yeah, we kind of piled on you there. Sam, we're like, this has got to stop.
Sam, just know that I'm thinking it, okay? I won't say it, but just know that I'm thinking it, please.
Yeah, you can't do it. All you've got to do is we can connect on the fact that it's now cold and we're buried under snow here in Cincinnati as well. So, you know, it's winter. Happy winter to all of us.
I'm sorry to hear that. Kansas City had the weather... Yeah. Over the weekend, and the Chiefs got stuck, and how bad is it there in Cincy?
It's record-breaking in Cincinnati, which makes it like every other weekend in Buffalo, I think. We had something in the region of a foot of snow. What it did is, I mean, I drive a Camaro, which is generally a very ill-suited
vehicle. That seems like a poor choice.
The weather.
Yeah.
It was the first time that I've ever failed to make it to my destination because the car got beached on the snow. It wasn't a loss of traction. It was there was so much snow that it literally wouldn't go over the top of it anymore.
Yikes. Well,
been there. Yep.
Good luck on that. Sam Monson, our guest, 33rd team, Sam and Steve. And we're excited to have you to talk playoffs here. And Cincinnati, sadly, not among them. That felt like a big relief to a lot of Bills fans, I think, Sam, and maybe the Chiefs, maybe everybody. Instead, here, Denver, which for most of the season, I think we've kind of not really noticed, frankly, at least maybe that's me talking. How different Denver versus Cincinnati this test? Did the Bills do well, maybe very well, by getting this matchup? And then let's get into the Broncos and talk about like what they're good at.
Yeah, I mean, they're very different teams. I think everybody as a neutral wanted to see Cincinnati in there because Burrow is playing as well as any quarterback in the NFL. I mean, I think MVP is basically a two-horse race between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. But Joe Burrow, from an on-field perspective, is right there with them. I mean, you can't separate the three with real on-field performance. You have to say, yeah, but the Bengals didn't make the playoffs, so he's basically ineligible, you know? That's kind of the way I think a lot of people are going to do it. But Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, if he's back healthy or if he would have been back healthy had they made it, their offense is incredible, and so that makes them lethally dangerous in the postseason. They're also a team that's been able to put it up to Kansas City in the past. Like, you know, it's just they're a team that would have been wildly scary to any real contender because – there's absolutely the possibility that they would have just played absolute lights out football. And regardless of how you're playing, you're in a shootout against a really good team. But they didn't make it for a reason. I mean, their defense this season has been atrocious. And even with Joe Burrow playing at an MVP kind of level, they just lost too many games and found themselves, you know, one more defeat than needed to make the postseason. Denver are very different because their defense is legit. I mean, it's a really impressive unit. They're arguably the best pass rush in the NFL. They've got Patrick Surtain on the back end, who's as good as any corner in the league right now. And it's their offense that sort of rounded into form over the course of the season. And with a rookie quarterback, Bo Nix, consistently sort of improving his performance and really creating a complementary side of the football to that really good defense.
Yeah, so what is it that they are good at offensively, Sam? As we'll get to the defense here too, but as you look at Denver through the year, and is it hard to pin down because it's sort of evolved as the year's gone on, which is not that surprising considering it was a rookie quarterback. Like maybe Sean Payton is trusting him more, getting a better feel for what he does well and doesn't do well, that kind of thing. But like what are the calling cards of this Denver offense?
Yeah, that's definitely a part of it. Generally, it's quite a horizontal passing attack, you know, short passing, efficient. It does remind people a lot of those old Sean Payton, Drew Brees, New Orleans offenses, you know, where Drew Brees generally had quite a dink and dunk style to his game. Where it differs, obviously, Bo Nix is not Drew Brees, you know, it's a fairly significant place that it differs. Bo Nix, though, is a much better scrambling and rushing threat than Drew Brees ever was. So he doesn't have Drew Brees' ability as a passer. He's not as dangerous deep down the field, though that's been evolving as the year's gone on. But he's led the team in rushing like half the games he's played. I mean, he's a real threat to take off and scramble at any time and is a much better athlete, I think, than people gave him credit for coming into the league. So Denver's rushing game is not necessarily imposing, but Bo Nix is able to keep the chains moving a lot by scrambling around and making plays that way. And the deep ball has started to show up at times this season. He's been able to find Cortland Sutton, who's their number one receiver. They're using Marvin Mims out of the backfield a lot more now, and that's dangerous because you can create matchup problems that way. So yeah, it's definitely an evolving system, this offense.
The weather for Denver at Buffalo Sunday, 1 o'clock, and this is not me trolling Sam, but as boring as it gets, cloudy 33, no winds really. So just sort of a plain January day out at the stadium, at least as of today. Sam Monson, our guest, Check the Mic podcast. How about these Bills, Sam, going in? I mean, they're pretty healthy. They had kind of a dream year, I would say, with the division falling apart. Couldn't get that one more Kansas City loss to make it interesting to the end. But, you know, here they are as the 2 seed again. How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, you have to feel pretty good, right? They are one of the haves rather than the have-nots in terms of contender versus pretender type of status. They're rolling into the playoffs as one of the best teams in the NFL, a team that expects to be able to win January football games and not just get there, and they have as good a shot as they've ever had to, you know, go all the way and to get that Super Bowl. They are a legitimate force and a team that I think a lot of this season, and this, I mean, maybe this will cost them the MVP, but I think a lot of this season they haven't needed Josh Allen to be Superman. They've been able to win games with Josh Allen kind of coasting and just letting other people make plays, and then when they really needed him, that's when Superman Josh Allen and MVP Josh Allen showed up and played out of his mind and won almost all of those games. So that's a good thing as well for the playoffs. They haven't always needed him to be incredible, but when they have, he's been able to just flip the switch and turn it on.
Of course, the running attack here, spearheaded by James Cook and Josh Allen, has been a story here, Sam. I know we visited enough last year once Brady took over and through the offseason and into this season already, knowing that the Bills were putting more of an emphasis on running the ball. That and everything else in totality, like how much different is this Bills offense than it was, say, at this time a year ago or midseason last year?
I mean, I think it's very different, but more because of the passing game and the weaponry that they have there, they've really just been efficient running the ball and extremely good at it. And Josh Allen sort of creates this interesting dynamic where, you know, Detroit has, when they're healthy, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, and that's kind of the thunder and lightning, the power and speed combination. Buffalo has that as well, except Josh Allen is like the power back. You know, Josh Allen has become the short yardage guy, the power runner of this offense, while James Cook concentrates on being the speedster and being the dynamic, athletic rushing threat. So it's an unusual running attack, I think, because of how much of it is operates through Josh Allen because of his skill set. There aren't many teams that do that with their running game or have ever done it because not many teams have a kind of power runner, a quarterback. Yeah, Carolina, when Cam Newton was that player, maybe, but they didn't, I think they didn't have as dynamic a sort of speed and an athlete as James Cook as the other complementary team. Mm-hmm.
Sam, on defense here, this is different for the Bills. I mean, there were some notable changes to their personnel going into this season, but 17th in yards allowed, 11th in points allowed. You know, they've had the Lions here relatively late in the season, Chiefs, the Rams put 44 on them. Is it something that would very much factor into your analysis of their chances, what they look like on defense? I tend to feel like no, just generally, but Kansas City's defense has been sharp in the postseason before and this year, and Baltimore somehow transformed from, you know, bad to great, it seems, on defense this year, not to mention the Broncos. So does anything about the Bills on that side of the ball worry you for them?
Yeah, and I think some of the bad games this season were very much down to injuries and how many players they were missing at the time. I think one thing that will help them, and this is an element of the Cincinnati tale that I was fascinated by, is bad weather in January is a defensive aid. You know, when the games get cold, when the weather gets ugly, it's easier to play defense. It tends to blunt the effectiveness of offense. And, you know, Cincinnati, had they made it, we're going to have to come into Buffalo where it's cold. Then if they win in Buffalo, play in Kansas City where it's cold. These are all defensive aids, and Cincinnati's defense was the problem. So all of a sudden, this could have been a much more effective and dangerous team than even they had been during this run. But I think that cold weather is something that might help Buffalo's defense play at its best, you know, help them look their best selves as opposed to the version where they were struggling to stop teams like the Rams. So, you know, I think they'll be better because
whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
They're a bit more healthy than they were, and also the fact that the weather will work in their favor as well. And this is a team where their offense is built to succeed in any weather. So, yeah, I don't, you know, maybe Buffalo's defense is not the best of the teams that are in the postseason, but I think they're definitely good enough that it's not going to be a drag on what this team can do.
Sam, how do you like the rest of the brackets here on either side? We can start with the AFC. Those games are all those are the first three games of Wild Card Weekend, as it turns out. Pittsburgh and Baltimore, it's a huge spread. We know what Baltimore's looked like all year, and especially lately. Mike already referenced their defense is sort of getting a lot of credit for being excellent here in the back end of the season, whereas earlier in the year it seemed like they could get got, especially in the passing game. They draw Pittsburgh. I mean, that's like, you know, bring the lumber out. Can be that kind of game, but Pittsburgh looks like a dead team walking the last month or so. So what do you think of that game?
Yeah, I think all the playoff matchups are pretty compelling. This one is maybe the one that's the most lopsided on paper, but it's a division game. So to an extent, you can kind of throw out the form book. You know, sometimes those games, you just get weird performances. And we've already seen that this year, where the first time Pittsburgh and Baltimore played each other, the Steelers' defense did a really good job on Lamar Jackson and the Ravens' offense. They slowed them down. They made it a really tight, tough battle. And then the second game, they looked like they didn't belong on the same field. It was an absolute destruction job by the Ravens. So obviously, if it goes the same way it did the second time around, it will be something of a dud of a playoff game. But we might get something closer to the first version, where the Steelers really make the Ravens work for this, and it's a close game because it's a division rival. So, yeah, I think this is maybe the one that has the biggest potential to get out of hand, but it's still an interesting game because of the history involved.
Chargers, Texans, Sam, L.A. minus -3 on the road. I mean, it seems like everybody's off the Texans, and I don't know, like, is that presumptuous? Do you give them a good chance here, or just what?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Texans are the other team, along with Pittsburgh, that are kind of limping into the playoffs. They've dealt with a lot of injuries. The offensive line has been a mess, even when it wasn't injured, and they haven't really been able to find the answers. And as good as their defense is, it just feels like this is a team that is not necessarily equipped to win a game like this without a significant upturn in production or play by some of their star players. And, you know, C.J. Stroud, even though he's young, he's inexperienced, he's already shown the ability to be able to do that on the biggest stage, in the playoffs last year, in the college football playoffs as well. Stroud has had his best games at the biggest moments, and they need him to do that this time because, you know, he has less help now than he had previously.
How about the NFC games? We've got to wait until 4:30 on Sunday to get that in the air. But Green Bay and Philly lead us off there. And I don't know, Philly, at this time last year, I think a lot of people, including myself, thought they could see cracks in Philly, and it turned out that they were right about that. How do you feel about them going in this year?
Yeah, they were collapsing last year, and that collapse did extend its way into the playoffs, and they were just bounced. This year, I think it's almost the reverse. I mean, they are playing really, really good football right now. Both sides of the ball look extremely good. Their young defense, I think, is only getting better. I think the Eagles right now look as good as anybody in it, and assuming Jalen Hurts does clear concussion protocol, which is still unknown. I mean, this is almost 2 weeks after that injury, and we're still not there yet. And that's obviously a massive turning point in this game if something does happen to him. But assuming Jalen Hurts comes out of concussion protocol okay, then I think the Eagles are an extremely difficult out for anybody.
Detroit on Sunday night, Sam. I mean, what a showing in that game against Minnesota. So physical. I do Matthew Collar's podcast every Wednesday. I know you know Matt, and he and I talked today about just what that was like in person. He was saying just Detroit was so all over it, and thus they get the one. They might be getting Montgomery back by their next game, whereas Minnesota, of course, at 14-3 has to go on the road. Vikings, Rams. Vikings are a small favorite there. I don't think the Rams are good. Am I wrong?
Well, not necessarily consistently, but they have been good. And one of the games where they were good was against Minnesota.
Yeah.
Before that Detroit game last week, the Rams had handed the Vikings their biggest defeat this season, or at least their most conclusive defeat. That was the one game up until last week where I think Minnesota just got beaten. You know, they were the previous game against the Lions, it was 50-50. It was extremely tight. It came down to, you know, the very end, that could have gone either way. The Rams game, they were never the better team in that game. They were consistently behind the eight ball. The Rams had that in hand. And even though we all focus on a missed face mask call on Sam Darnold late in the game, I mean, that was just to give them a chance to try and keep the game alive. They really didn't deserve to win that game. So it's really unfortunate for Minnesota to be one game away from the one seed, and instead they're traveling on the road to the team that beat them the handiest during the regular season. And you're doing it sort of having just suffered that incredible,
yeah,
you know, emotional come down of losing that shot at the one seed. So, yeah, Minnesota is a better team on both sides of the ball, I think, than the Rams. But it's a really challenging ask to kind of deal with that, you know, mental setback and bounce back and put it all behind you and try and beat that team in their own building when they do have the capability of showing up with Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua and Kyron Williams. You know, that's an incredibly dangerous team. And when they hit that groove, and we saw that against Buffalo, they're extremely difficult to stop.
I agree with that. Do you think, like, basically, it seemed like McVay ordered it, you know, by sitting down last week, took the rest advantage, and, okay, well, we've beaten Minnesota. If it's Detroit, went to overtime, played a good game with them in the playoffs. Do you think this is kind of how McVay, with everything you said about the stress on the visitor here, kind of wanted it?
I certainly think that he just didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted to prioritize rest and health more than anything else. And McVay was the first coach out there to basically rest everybody in the preseason. You know, and that's become a bigger thing over the years, and maybe now it's actually tipping back in the other direction. But the first guy to start saying nobody of consequence is going to suit up in preseason at all was Sean McVay. So he is a coach who prioritizes rest and health above all else, certainly above rust, and now even above the potential concern of a 14-win wildcard team coming to their building instead of a different matchup. So, yeah, I think they looked at that and they decided, look, it's more important to sit our guys and get everyone an extra week healthy than it is to try and juggle and play the game of which team is going to come to our building.
Sam, before you go, got any thoughts at all on the coaching carousel? Maybe a good place to start that real quick is what looks like the best job? Or do you have like a fit in mind that seems obvious?
I mean, I think Chicago has to be seen as a great job because a lot of what people thought in the offseason in terms of, look, this is the best situation a rookie quarterback has ever had, it wasn't wrong. I mean, the offensive line is fine. The receiving core is really good, even if it's not maybe as good as we thought it was. It's a good situation. So, and they have the quarterback. Like, Caleb Williams showed this season that he's talented, even if it's a work in progress right now. If, you know, a Ben Johnson or somebody, that should be a destination that you look at and say, this is a good situation. We can make this work. We can have success here quickly. So I think the Bears should be a coveted job, even if they haven't had success for a long time now. In terms of coaching candidates, I mean, obviously Ben Johnson is going to be the biggest name out there, the most coveted name. I am fascinated, though, by a potential second go-around of Brian Flores because his time, number one, his overall record in Miami is actually fine, particularly given where they started from. And his failing was on the kind of emotional intelligence level. You know, he fell out with everybody by the end, and people hated the sort of abrasive way, you know, Tua was almost traumatized by the effect of Brian Flores by the end of it all. And generally that's a bad thing, but he's spectacular with the X's and O's. His defense right now is phenomenal. And the area that he failed in, he's been working with two guys since that who are phenomenal at that. Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh and then Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. So I don't know if it had any effect. You know, if you can absorb that kind of thing, if you can learn either directly or by osmosis, but I'd be really fascinated if I was an owner or a general manager making that hiring call to talk to Brian Flores and, you know, get him to articulate where he is on that stuff. Because if he has developed that side of his game, he could be an incredible retread coaching hire.
Very good. We really appreciate you and the time you give us, Sam. As always, thank you and enjoy the playoffs.
Anytime. Take it easy. You too.
All right. Sam Monson, Check the Mic with Steve Palazzolo. It's their podcast, formerly with PFF. Minnesota is so interesting. Don't you think, well, we should break, but like, couldn't Darnold's future, if not Flores, but couldn't Darnold's future just depend on Monday night?
Absolutely.
I mean, he'll play somewhere.
Yeah.
But what would you do if you were Minnesota if they lost, you know, and it wasn't pretty? Like, basically throw the whole season out? That might be crazy to do, but the playoffs are like that. It just means so much. 803-0550 for your thoughts. Talking Bills, Broncos, the AFC, all of it, the obvious stuff here as we eagerly anticipate Wild Card Weekend, Bills and Broncos, Sunday at 1. Sal Capaccio at 5 with the latest and his thoughts on all of this, too. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.